Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. In the past few weeks, we've been looking at some of the resurrection appearances of Jesus to his followers. And for this week, we're looking at another appearance as told to us by Luke in Luke 24. And this happens after the resurrection appearance that we looked at last week when the disciples were on the road to Emmaus. And so they rushed back to tell the other disciples, and then Jesus appears to them again. So I'm going to read from Luke 24, verses 36 to 49. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So as I was saying, in last week's reading, we left the disciples on the Emmaus Road, rushing back to speak with the other disciples to tell them that they had seen Jesus. There would have been such excitement, with questions flowing fast and stories being shared. The buzz in the room would have been high with excitement and joy and shock and questions. And then into the scene, Jesus suddenly appeared. I imagine the room going still and silent as the disciples watch on in shock, barely able to believe their eyes. So I love that the first thing that Jesus does is to reassure them. "Peace be with you." This is such a lovely thing for them to be greeted with, as we are told that they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Jesus knew that the disciples were feeling lost and confused after his death, and even more confused and shocked after they began hearing stories of his resurrection. And so Jesus knew that the first and foremost they needed to be reassured and comforted. They needed restored hope and joy. So he comes to them with a blessing of peace. Jesus knows what it is we need when he meets with us. He understands what we need far more than we do. So he is able to provide for us more than we can. What is it that you need as you encounter Jesus today? Do you need to be comforted and reassured? Do you need to be re-energized with restored hope and joy? Or do you need to be challenged? Do you need to be taken out of your comfort zone, prompted to take that step? Take a moment to pause and ask Jesus to meet your needs as you encounter him. Ask him to show you what it is that you need rather than what you'd like, and then ask him to fulfill that need with his gracious love. So let's pray for a moment as we do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here with us. You know more about us than we possibly can. And so you know what we need at this very moment. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be filling us with your gracious love and your amazing mercy. And give us the things that we need, Lord, as we grow to become more and more like you, and as we learn what it is to be disciples of you. Jesus, help us to follow you wherever you lead us. Amen. So as I said, Jesus knew what his disciples needed, not just for that moment, but for their continuing mission and ministry. And one of the things they needed was to have a tangible memory, a testimony that they could keep coming back to whenever they experienced questions and doubts, either from other people or from their own minds. Jesus knew that the disciples were scared and thought they were seeing a ghost. So he gives them proof that he was not a ghost, an illusion or a figment of their imagination. He encourages them to look at his hands and feet and see the scars from the nails, so demonstrating that this really was Jesus who had been crucified. Then he tells them to touch him to prove that he had a real solid body, saying, "A ghost does not have flesh and bone as you see I have. And then as further proof, he ate a meal, proving he could interact with the physical world and take on sustenance. All of these demonstrations would have given the disciples a powerful witness that Jesus is truly alive. And this would have been essential for them as they preached about Jesus to the people around them. Whenever they had a moment of doubt, they could return to that memory and be certain that Jesus had truly risen and is alive. And also, whenever they were faced with questions about how Jesus could possibly be alive, they could answer from the experiences that they had. We need these tangible memories as well, these moments where we are certain God has been with us and has spoken to us and given us direction and guidance. For example, when I went to college to study to be a minister, they told us to keep in our minds the memory of when God first called us to ministry. I remember them saying to us, "There will be times when you doubt yourself and your mission, so hold on to that memory of when God called you, so you know that you are following God's will for your life." And this has been true. There have been moments where I've needed to remember that God had spoken to me and called me to follow him into ministry. And the same is true, regardless of whether you've been called into formal Christian ministry or not. God has got a ministry and mission for you, for all of us, based on the gifts and talents that he's given you and where he has led you to be in your life. And so it is important that you hold on to the times that God has met with you and you've experienced his presence powerfully. Whenever we have those dark moments when we have doubts and fears, think back to those memories of encounters with God. He uses these tangible moments to help you fight off Satan when he tries to cause you to waver and fall. So hold on to the memories you have of God's presence in your life. They are precious jewels to help us in our journey of faith. So to help prepare the disciples from the journey ahead of them, Jesus firstly reassured them. He secondly gave them a tangible memory to hold on to. And thirdly, he taught them, opening the scriptures for them. To be able to explain what happened at Easter and why, the disciples needed to understand and trust what God had spoken to his people through the scriptures. This is because there were many different understandings about who the Messiah would be and what he would do. And these had clouded people's eyes to seeing what God had really planned. So Jesus took the disciples through what was taught about him in God's word. Luke specifically mentions that Jesus explained everything written about him in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. In other words, Jesus explained to them about the way that he is woven through the entirety of the scriptures. The truth about Jesus goes throughout all the books of the Old Testament. All of what is known to us as the Old Testament, but to them was the scriptures. All of that points to who Jesus is and what he came to do. Jesus explained to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Jesus knew that if the disciples were to have success in the mission ahead of them, they would need to know God's word and understand how it pointed to his coming. In order to teach people about the good news of Jesus, they had to understand what the scriptures said about him. They needed to be able to answer people with their questions and queries about how Jesus was foretold in the scriptures. And they'd only be able to do this by being knowledgeable about what God had said about him. Likewise, we need to know what God says about Jesus, what the Bible says about who he is, if we are able to tell people about him. I think sometimes it's tempting to think to ourselves that it's enough to come to church on a Sunday and hear what's said in the service, and then we will know enough about Jesus and we don't need to do anything else during the week. But we're called to study God's word day and night. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." It is important to read the Bible each day so that we are prepared, equipped for whatever we might face that day. The Bible isn't just some words written long ago. It is a living, breathing word that makes a difference in the here and now. The Bible makes an impact in our lives if we allow it to, if we allow ourselves to be transformed for the better by God's word. The final thing that Jesus says to them to help the disciples prepare for the future they will face is, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Having given the disciples the reassurance, the tangible memories, and teaching from the scriptures, Jesus now says, "Do not go anywhere until you receive power from on high, until you receive the Holy Spirit that has been promised." This is of vital importance because the disciples needed God with them if they were going to be successful in reaching people with the good news of Jesus. The task they had been given is so incredibly vast and fraught with challenges and difficulties, the disciples must not go out in their own strength. They must wait for God to give them the authority, power, and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. From reading the other books of the New Testament, we know that the disciples would be facing opposition, persecution, danger, challenges, arrest, and even death. If they had attempted to go in their own strength, they would have fallen at the first hurdle. It is only by the work and presence of the Holy Spirit that they were able to endure everything for the sake of sharing the wonderful news of Jesus. And of course, this instruction is just as true for us as it is for all followers of Jesus. We need to listen to the movement of the Holy Spirit to know where we are called to work and how. God's intimate, indwelling presence is necessary if we want to see lives transformed, God's love flowing, his kingdom of justice and grace being made known. We long to see the truth about Jesus being spread to our communities, our families and neighbours, our friends and acquaintances, strangers and even enemies. The Holy Spirit works through us, you and me, to touch people and change their lives. Are you listening to what the Holy Spirit tells you? Are you prepared to follow the Holy Spirit into unfamiliar places or situations to share Jesus with those who don't know him? Or perhaps the Holy Spirit is guiding you to have frank, even blunt conversations with those close to you. What is the Holy Spirit telling you to do? Are you prepared to be messengers of God's good news? All of this is only possible by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. God has given us the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit to live not just with us, but in us. This means that we are never alone. We are never abandoned to face situations on our own. And so, when we are called to act, the Holy Spirit provides us with all that we need. When we are called to speak, the Holy Spirit gives us the words. When we are called to stand with someone, the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to be an anchor for someone in time of need. We need to remain open to hearing from the Holy Spirit so that we can reach out to those who need it. This week, how might God be calling you to reach out to those around you? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal who needs you this week. So we need to be prepared for what God calls us to do. He reassures us and gives us what we need to hear from him. He provides us with tangible memories to rely on when times are difficult. He teaches us from his word, the gift that we've been given that tells us who he is and what he says. And he guides us with the Holy Spirit, God with us always. Are you prepared?